Now the most sanctioned country in the world, surpassing Iran, Syria and North Korea. 90% of the sanctions are aimed at politicians and wealthy, influential Russians. But how are ordinary Russians being affected? Well, that's a question I put to Fred Weir, Moscow correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, when I spoke to him a short time ago.
Most people living what you call, I guess, an average Russian life, haven't been much affected at all. I was just at our local shopping center. I did my groceries in a big Auchan. It's a French hypermarket. Everything was there. Prices were a little higher than usual, but there was no panic. There were regular crowds doing regular things, buying regular things. I know this may not be what you want to hear, but that's what I find out there. But for people I know, ironically, the more westernized, better educated, traveled, worldly crowd, liberal-minded people, they're being hit because of their connections with the West. They can no longer use their bank cards abroad or access money that they might have abroad. If they happen to be abroad right now, they can't get their Russian savings, spend them on their bank cards. Airline traffic both ways, east and west, has been virtually shut off. So people with plans have been screwed. A lot of other things are coming down the pike, and it's that middle-class crowd of Russians who will be affected the worst.
What about those businesses then that have pulled out of Russia, the international businesses, and we've heard some of the big names that are gone from the country? What is happening to those businesses or to the businesses that are left behind by them?
Well, I was just up in the food court of our local shopping mall. It has about 10 different, you know, those food court stalls. McDonald's and KFC are closed, but all the others, several Russian ones, a pizza place, Vietnamese place, are all open and doing a roaring business. It depends, you know, whether they'll be able to source their products down the road. I mean, there's a lot of questions of how this is going to go. The only American place that was open in our food court was Baskin Robbins. You can still get like 15 different flavors of ice cream.
And how are those sanctions then being perceived, and how might people react?
As far as we can tell, and it's early days and there isn't very much polling, and you can't really trust what there is, but it seems like most Russians support the military operation in Ukraine. It's not the kind of wild enthusiasm that we saw back in 2014 when Crimea was annexed, brought back to the bosom of Mother Russia. It's not like that. It's more a rally around the troops thing. Our boys are fighting, don't say a bad word about them. That kind of thing, which I think is familiar, maybe not to the Irish, but to Americans, you know, support the troops. is a common thing, and I think that's the mood of most Russians. It's not the mood of the educated classes, who are really shocked and horrified, and many of whom are panicking.
And what kind of information then is generally available to the average Russian person about the reasons for the sanctions and about the extent of what's happening in Ukraine?
If it's someone who just watches TV, it's not very much. It's a Russian-centric narrative, and it doesn't show the scenes of Ukrainian cities burning. On the other hand, most Russians are able to download a VPN on their computers or their telephones. They can use Telegram, which has hundreds of information channels, some of them originating in Ukraine. Most of my friends are in that category of people, and they're very well informed about what is going on.
That was Fred Weir, Moscow correspondent with the Christian Science Monitor, speaking to me a short time ago.